God's people, let's turn in God's Word to Amos chapter 4. In Amos chapter 4, we're going to be reading only verses 1 through 5 this morning, or this evening, excuse me. Amos chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Amos 4, verses 1 through 5. And before we read God's Word, let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Father, we're thankful as we read Your Word now that we praise You again for the Gospel of Jesus Christ. In Christ alone we have our only hope, our only salvation, our only place to cling to for life in Him alone. And so as we hear this word, we pray that we would cling to Him. And as the judgments that we deserve, and may rightly deserve even still, today, we pray that we would keep looking to Christ. We pray in His name. Amen. Amos chapter 4, verse 1, these are God's words. Hear this word, ye kine of Bashan, that are in the mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring and let us drink. The Lord God has sworn by His holiness that, lo, the days shall come upon you, that He will take you away with hooks, and your posterity with fish hooks. And ye shall go out at the breaches, every cow at that which is before her, and ye shall cast them into the palace, saith the Lord. Come to Bethel and transgress. At Gilgal, multiply transgression. And bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years. And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven. And proclaim and publish the free offerings. For this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. Those are God's words. In this prophecy so far, which you remember the prophets and the prophecies of the Old Testament, are indictments, and this is an indictment, the charges brought against Israel, the people of God, by Jehovah through Amos the prophet. And in all this iniquity and sin and transgressions, Jehovah says, my soul hates, they are a trouble unto me, I am weary to bear them. And this prophecy is crucial in God's providence to understand where the church is today, because today the church is reaching up to the full measure of sins. Beloved, consider the Lord. Because of our sins, He is burdened. Chapter 2, verse 13. The same for our nation, so too for the church that is coming and has come. So what about us? And what about our sin? If we are like Israel as described here, then we are headed for something that none of you wants. Verse 12, to hear the words, prepare to meet thy God. And none of us wants that. That's not the type of meeting you want to meet God in. And so it begins first this evening. The only thing we're looking at this evening is with empty religion. That's what we're looking at, empty religion. When we come to chapter 4, we come across language that would probably upset a lot of people in our day as abusive towards women. But it is not intended as that of the Lord through the prophet. Verse 1, it says, hear this word, ye kine, or cows of Bashan that are in the mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring and let us drink. He says, hear this word, all of you cows of Bashan. He's speaking of the women. Not all of the women of Israel, but many of the women of Israel. It's interesting. In Psalm 22, that psalm, of course, that we know is about Jesus Christ, that the Lord Jesus Himself in Psalm 22 describes the wicked men as the bulls of Bashan, or bulls of Bashan. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. And this communicates something about those wicked men, that those who opposed Jesus Christ are full of self-confidence, they're arrogant, and they're strong. And thereby expresses something about then the righteous anger of God against their wickedness. The same is happening here in verse 1, that these women in Israel are like the cows of Bashan. Instead of being offended about this concerning these women, you ought to hear this with the utmost seriousness and also fear of the Lord. That here are these wives of Israel who are well-to-do and yet filled with wickedness. These wives despise the Lord. He's not sneering at them here. He is highlighting here the causes of his anger with this particular group of people, that is the wealthy wives of Israel. He's already talked about the men previously. Now he's talking about their wealthy wives of Israel. This isn't a reference to their promiscuity or being of low class. This gives the picture of high quality cattle from the rich pasture land of Bashan. These are what appear to be the best of the best cows. They are sleek and well fed. They are utterly, though materialistic. And how this could be used to describe many ladies in our culture today and in Kansas City itself. They never stop chewing the cud of luxury. They must have more and more and more. And if that means to oppress the poor and to crush the needy, as verse 1 talks about, they will do it. And they'll say to their husbands, whatever it takes, bring it to me. And with that, they agree with their husbands, as we've read about them, the men, to have a life of ease and financial security. They are morally and spiritually, though, bankrupt. Anything to get what they want, they are the best coveters. They just let their husbands know what they would like and what would please them, even excessive drinking, and their husbands provide. So here are the wives who plot and plan and promote behind the scenes of their arrogant coveting. The husbands are described here as doing the actions of sinning. Implied. The wives described as those who are the mind and heart of sin. Plotting sin, thinking sinful thoughts. Beloved, remember our acts of sin. Proverbs 23 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so he is," or "so is he." As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. There in verse 1, the word is literally masters, not husbands. And that's important. It's the same word as Lord, that is lowercase, Lord as in master. That's important because these are proper women. They have an outward religion. They are like Sarah outwardly, who called their husband Lord, master, same thing. And yet, they don't show the piety of Sarah, the heart of Sarah, only their outward words as they say, "Bring and let us drink." Now the husbands, of course, are sinners. They're scheming. They're oppressing the poor as well. And we've already read about that here. We remember a godly, submissive wife would not have used her husbands to sin more. But she would not, a submissive wife would not aid and encourage her husband in sin. Rather, she would be encouraging her husband to be God's kind of Lord or master. Beloved, marriage is designed partly for the mutual help and godly living. It is not designed to destroy and oppress society. And that's what these wives were doing. And they with their husbands. These marriages described here in verse 1 are the devil's marriages. This is man's way, not God's way. And so in your marriages, beloved, bring every thought and action captive to Christ. Then verse 2 it says, "The Lord God has sworn by His holiness that, lo, the day shall come upon you that He will take you away with hooks and your posterity with fish hooks, And ye shall go out at the breaches, every cow at that which is before, and ye shall cast them into the palace, saith the Lord. This is serious. Here is the Lord who takes an oath in His own name, by Himself, by His holiness. Hebrews 6, you remember verse 13, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by Himself. And so the argument is over. Because three verses later it says, for men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. That is, the argument is over. No more strife. Whatever the Lord is about to say, it is most certainly true and fact, for He swears by the greatest, Himself, His holiness. And what does He say? What does He promise? Now verse 2, these cows of Bashan are spoken of as fish. And so the picture here is that Israel is a pond full of fish. And these wicked Israelites are the fish. And Assyria is being sent as the fishermen. They will be taken away in exile. The days are coming that the Lord will take you away with hooks and with your posterity with fish hooks. And this He will do, we know, through Assyria. He'll take the northern kingdom of Israel into exile by Assyria. And so that's how we can say that the fishermen here, sent by the Lord in His providence and decree, is Assyria, the nation. And so the picture fits with the context, doesn't it? Fish swim and swim and they look for food all the time. And so too those who search for ease and luxury like these wives, and so too their husbands, they are looking for more and more riches. And before long that fish is going to take the wrong type of food. The bait that's on the hook. These people's love of ease and luxury will lead to their downfall. Their abundance would gain them complete poverty and exile. Just like verse 3, now turning to another picture of a city wall. By holes in the wall or breaches in the wall from the destruction that will come upon it. And these wives, these cows of Bashan will be taken out. They'll be taken out and they'll become outcasts. They're going to be led out like a herd of cows through a gate, but worse, through a breach in the wall. The pleasures and indulgences, the luxury, not even the palaces, right, in which you now live shall exist among you anymore, the Lord is saying here. There will be no safety. Like a cow, when poked or prodded, if you grew up on a farm or if you know these kind of things, when you poke or prod, even like one of those electric prod things, a cow will run. And they'll run any which way to escape, and they'll have a mind where they think to escape, and sometimes it's through a wall. Sometimes it's through a gate, down the chute. But they don't know where that goes. They're just going because they're trying to escape. And just like that, not knowing where they're being led, these people will be cast out of their high places and down into judgment. Judgment is coming for them. And there is no way to escape it. And so says the Lord God, who is sworn by His holiness. In verse 4, it says, come to Bethel and transgress. At Gilgal, multiply transgression and bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years. And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven and proclaim and publish the free offerings. For this liketh you, O you children of Israel, saith the Lord God. What did the northern kingdom of Israel do? They had set up from the very beginning, under Jeroboam, remember Rehoboam and then Jeroboam. Under Jeroboam, they had set up false centers of worship at Bethel and Dan. And Gilgal was also known for high places and altars where they would also worship falsely. And so here are both places known for worship, and Israel, the northern kingdom, would flock to these places to worship, and like many in the church today, they would come to be seen. They would come to be seen. They would come to put in their time. These wicked people went to church, beloved. They went to worship. They were observers of regular forms of religious worship. They brought sacrifices, according to the ceremonial law on that day, gave free will offerings. And like so many in the church today, their religion had very little to do with their daily lives. These cows of Bashan were no different than our kind of consumer mindset in the church. You're always looking for the perfect church, always trying to find exactly what you want, what you think you need, and never actually finding it is what often happens. There's an outward form here with these Israelites and often in the church today. Even our nation's leaders, don't they, when there's a particular occasion of a special occasion, someone is inaugurated a president, let's say. That's an example that we can think of. Even our nation's leaders have an outward form of religion at times. They go, and all the past presidents, they all go and they go to a worship service of the incoming president's choice at one of those churches in Washington, D.C. There's an outward form. Worship concludes then with the benediction. And many in the church, they're out the door. They don't talk to anybody. And the question that we would ask is, where do you have to go that is so important on the Lord's Day that you have to leave so quickly? What is so important? Lord's Day after Lord's Day that you need to rush out the door. Do you have plans in breaking the Sabbath day? Does your religion have anything to do with what you do here and also out there? Beloved, to approach the Lord God with your lips, with your body, while your heart is far from Him, like these cows of Bashan and the people of Israel, is the most basic form of contempt of God and contempt for Him. And He says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before Me." And these cows didn't love their neighbors. Verse 1, they didn't love the needy, but oppressed them, oppressed the poor. But before that, they didn't love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. What did they do? They attended church services from time to time, and they went to Bethel, and they went to Gilgal. And in this way, they perpetuated the sin of Jeroboam, worshiping a golden calf. They worshiped on their terms, not Jehovah's. The Lord said in Jerusalem, they said, no. He said, no idols, second commandment. They made golden calves and continued to worship them. New theology ruled. God's word was set aside. Man was the measure of things, even of the things of God. If it didn't make sense to man's logic, like many in the church think of God's word today, if it didn't make sense to man's logic, it wasn't true to them. Their worship was will worship. The glorification of imaginations of men over against the infallible word of Almighty God. And today we have Bible unbelieving, doctrineless, will worshiping, Christless churches. When the Lord says to us, come to Bethel and transgress, and at Gilgal multiply transgression, this is the rebuke and condemnation of the empty religion of Israel, and it is the condemnation and rebuke of the empty religion of the church today. There were all sorts of rituals going on and going through the motions, and even some going above and beyond. They brought sacrifices, it says here, every morning. The Lord chose sacrifices were only to be offered once a year. They were going above and beyond. They're going every morning to do so. Or you know you can come and you can worship and offer sacrifices every morning. This won't change your empty religion, no. It's empty. There's no true heart for the Lord and no real keeping of His commandments. It says they tithe after 3 years. It doesn't say days there. It says years, as it was commanded in Deuteronomy 14. At the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thine increase the same year and shalt lay it up within thy gates. Go ahead. Go ahead, keep my commandment outwardly. But your empty heart and your empty religion will not save you. Verse 5, offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven. The Lord had expressly commanded that the thank offerings were to be made with unleavened bread. You go ahead and you worship contrary to my command. You worship with my commands, contrary to my commands, it doesn't matter. Your heart's not in it. Why should I, the Lord God, complain? He's being, of course, sarcastic. They could be rigorous in their religion, but it would avail them nothing. Whether it be the frequency of their worship, the value of their tithes was impressive to the Lord, was not impressive to the Lord. Well, then let them give the Lord what He requires. And He requires what? Psalm 51, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. But they didn't have that. They had a prideful heart and they wanted to be seen by others. And in that way, he says, after that in verse 5, proclaim and publish the free offerings. That is, go ahead and continue boasting and bragging about your worship and your acts of worship, making their acts before the Lord known to everyone. They're putting on a show to be seen by others. And what does Matthew 6 say of that? And of course, as he says in our passage, he's implying. He says in Matthew 6, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Right? And what are they doing? They're proclaiming and they're publishing their free offerings. There are some churches today, mostly older churches, where you know some people or a married couple has given an ample amount, donated a great amount for something in the church, maybe the pews or the windows, whatever it is, and they get a little plaque put up with their name on it. That's what the Lord is charging them with here. All of this, as Matthew 6 teaches, is these people of Israel did, and as many in the church do today, it adds up to a rejection of the faithfulness of the Lord. That's what Matthew 6 teaches. You're rejecting the faithfulness of the Lord when you publicize your worship, when you publicize your great piety, when you publicize your worship before others and make it a show. You're denying and rejecting the faithfulness of the Lord. What is it that craves recognition? And recognition in the church, or recognition anywhere. Pride. The lifeblood of pride is publicity. But the Christian's humility confides secretly in the Lord and awaits His reward in the Lord's timing. That's what we learn in 1 Peter 5, verse 6. He says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He will exalt you. He will reward you in His timing. These people and these ladies of Amos 4 in particular were so filled with sin. They were filled with empty religion, and what was missing was their heart for the Lord. And there was no grace in the hearts of those in Israel, or for the majority of them. All they had was a spirit of serving their self-righteousness and their pride. And so he basically says, boast about what you do. For this you love. This you like, O ye children of Israel, in verse 5. And this really is boils down to what we know a little bit better than Amos. That's Romans 1. It's really no different. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. Right? God gave them over to themselves. And that's what He's doing here. He's saying, come to Bethel and transgress. Go to Gilgal and multiply transgression. Bring in your sacrifices every morning. Your tithes off after 3 years. Go ahead and offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven and proclaim and publish the free offerings for this you love. Go ahead. And He gives them over to themselves. And it goes on in Romans 1 there. But the issue here is that Israel did not just have creation to show forth the truth of God. They had the very living Word of God, unlike those in Romans 1. They had the very Word of God, special revelation. And they took that Word of God and denied it and thought their word, their ideas, their way to worship, their way to live life, that that was better than the Creator's way, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, what He had said in His own very Word. And how much then like Israel do we live that way? We hear His Word at times or all the time, and we hear the Lord God say and teach in His Word certain things, and our first reaction is to question it. Our first reaction is to say, no, we don't like that. That's too hard. That's going to be embarrassing. That's going to lead to me being hurt. That's going to lead to me losing friends and family, etc., which you just promised would happen in Luke 21. Right? All those things the Lord Jesus taught would happen and does happen, I don't like that. And the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin, but I want that sin. Submit, beloved, to the leanings of the Spirit. Don't keep on hate what the Lord hates and love what He says He loves. Again, all this passage is doing is showing how great the condemnation is that is deserved by this people, this nation of Israel, and this worshiping people, the church of Israel. And how great the condemnation and judgment is that's deserved by the church just the same. The visible church. Judgment is being promised here, as it will go on to say in this chapter. But as the Lord continues to speak to them, they keep rebelling against Him. They keep not doing what He's calling them to do, turning from that way. And so now here He gives them over to themselves, and their hearts are hardened like Pharaoh's. And what is the Lord calling them to truly do? To turn from their wicked ways and turn to the Lord. But they keep on in the hardness of the heart. They keep on in their rebellion. All this is doing is heaping up judgments upon them that He's promised here that are going to come. Even that Assyria is now going to come and take them out. Destroy Jerusalem, or destroy them as the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom, and take them out and bring them into exile in Assyria. At verse 2, the Lord God has sworn by His holiness that, lo, the days shall come upon you, that He will take you away with hooks, and your posterity with fishhooks. And what will save them from this judgment? We heard this morning, a Savior. Only a Savior can save them from condemnation and judgment. Will they repent and turn to the Savior? That's what we do when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We turn from our sins. We repent. Just like the Gentiles in Romans 1 and like the Jews in Romans 2, who in their sins have fallen short of the glory of God, and we are like all of them. Have you turned then to the Savior? Have you turned to the Savior? Have you continued in sins, though, or the opposite? Have you continued in sins that grace may abound? Is your religion empty and devoid of your heart? And there's no zeal, there's no joy, it's just going through the motions, just coming to worship. You come to worship, you pray before others, you make a good show of it. Is that you? You look like a Christian outwardly, you might talk like one, but inside you're just empty. And you know this. You're empty, and then may this be the last day of emptiness for you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, and you shall be saved from this condemnation and judgment that's promised here in Amos chapter 4. If you're rebellious against the Lord's commandments, if you know what the Lord loves and says is right and you do the opposite, then begin today to love what the Lord loves and hate what the Lord hates and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior from this world. John said, "Behold the Lamb of God," Jesus Christ. "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Believe on Him and come on unto Him." If you want salvation from judgment and condemnation, then you must turn unto the Lord and Jesus. There are not any other options. If you refuse the Lord, if you refuse Christ, Jesus, and His goodness and His faithfulness, as these in Amos 4 did in Israel, there are no other options. And in Hebrews he says, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven." And he's speaking that to the church of Jesus Christ. "Refuse not him that speaketh, but listen and follow the Lord Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, whose blood was spilt there at the cross." You Christian, you run to Jesus. You're a Christian, you believe you're a Christian, run to Jesus. Run to him. You struggle with empty religion or a heart that's kind of cold, lukewarm. Run to Jesus. Commune with him every day, meditating upon his word and in prayer, being watchful and praying, and love him. Love your Savior. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We're thankful that as we think of one of the most perhaps undeserving of sinners in Scripture, the thief on the cross, he did not understand justification by faith. He did not understand all the intricacies of the doctrine of the gospel. He looked to Jesus and cried out to him. And Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." We pray that we would know all here, that we would know that there's nothing we can do to come unto Christ. All Jesus must do is say the word and we will be healed of all of our sin and transgressions. And so we plead, Father, that you would speak through your Son salvation into the hearts of everyone here, if it be your will. That each one would be of your elect, even of our children, even those in the womb. And that we would live with hearts that are alive and filled with joy and zeal and gladness in your Son, comforted by your Spirit, knowing and living according to the truth that all is to be done for your glory, because you love your glory And you love righteousness, so we love righteousness. You hate sin, and so we hate sin. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and turn us unto your Son, that we would run after him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.